left off yesterday on Daf Samach Vav Amidei, is about 10-12 lines before the end of the page. So we're in the middle of the sugya about Mili Lamimsron L'Shliach. Basically, the concept of Mili Lamimsron L'Shliach is that if you appoint a Shliach, the Shliach cannot go tell someone else to do it if all he is giving over to him is words. If the only koach that he's giving over to him is the koach of words, that's not good enough. We'll see in more detail in a moment. But important for today's daf, the Gemara had started out in Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis with a suffix of Shmuel. The Gemara had said that they had asked the following shail of Shmuel, that if a person tells two people to write and give a get to his wife, and those people have a sofer write the get, and they themselves sign it, is that good enough? Is their signing it a fulfillment of their chiyuv to write the get? Or do they actually have to serve as the sofrim to actually write the entire get as well? So says the Gemara, so we assume that the suffix was, the Gemara said that the suffix was, when the person says, I want you to write it, is he saying, I want you to write your signatures, or is he saying, I want you to write the actual get? So says the Gemara, if you hold that when someone tells someone else to write the get, he means write your signatures, but writing the get can be kosher with anybody doing it. He doesn't care that that these people specifically should write the get. But Shmuel Paskins like Rabbi Yossi, who says Mili is not good enough, that you're not allowed to give over words to a shliach. Meaning, what happened over here? He told them to write the get. They're going and they're signing the get, but they're asking someone else to write the get. Isn't that a problem of Mili Lamimsu and the shliach, when they go and they ask someone else to write the whole text of the get? So he says, no, Amri, meaning if you understand that when I ask you to write a get, all I'm really asking you for is your signature, so what do I plan on doing with the actual get? Obviously what I'm trying to tell you is, and also find someone else to write the actual get. So that's as if it was Omer Imra, as if you were specifically instructed to go tell somebody to write the get. And Rabbi Yossi is Moda, that if I ask you to tell someone to do something, that's okay. Mili is not mimshon l'shliach. If I don't tell you anything, you're not allowed to go. If I don't tell you to tell somebody, you're not allowed to go and pass on the mili to somebody else. But if I specifically tell you to tell somebody, then certainly you're allowed to go and tell somebody. That's Rabbi Yossi would be moda in that case, that's certainly fine. And that's what we assume is going on over here with the actual writing of the get. Even though I don't explicitly tell you to tell somebody, but that obviously must be what I mean. So, the Gemara, me, Mother Rabbi Yossi, Bamar Imru. Is Rabbi Yossi Moda in the case of Bamar Imru? Does Rabbi Yossi really think it's okay for me to tell you to ask somebody else to do it? And he really thinks that counts as a shlichus. Vatanan, we have a Mishnah, Ksav Sofer Ve'ed Kasher, if the Sofer writes the get. And there's an aid on the bottom of the get, it's Kasher, Vamar Rabbi Yirmiya, Chasam Sofer Sheninu. And Rabbi Yirmiya explains what that means is there's one additional aid besides for the Sofer on the bottom of the get. It's the sofer and the aid on and a second aid on the bottom of the get. So that's going to be kosher. Va'amar Rav Chista Masnisim Mani Rabbi Yossi Yidamar Mili Lamimshon L'Shliach. And Rav Chista says that Mishnah assumes like Rabbi Yossi, who says that Mili Lamimshon L'Shliach, that you're not allowed to give over pure milim to a shliach. But if you hold that Rabbi Yossi thinks even Omer Imru is a problem, even instructing someone to tell somebody else to do something is a problem, it's going to be disastrous. Why? Sometimes what's going to happen is you're going to go over to two people and you're going to say, I want you to go tell the sofer to write the get, and I want you to go tell Ploni and Ploni to sign the get. Umishum kisufa the sofer, and because of the embarrassment of the sofer, chayshiu michtmi chad mehanach sahadi the sofer bahadayu. You know what they're going to do instead? They're going to go to the sofer and they're going to ask him to write the get. Then they're going to feel bad. The sofer is a chashuv guy. If you ask him to write the get, why aren't they asking him to sign the get? So they're going to feel that a slap in the face to the sofer not to ask him to sign the get also. So they're going to say, you know what, can you sign the get too? So what's going to happen? Their shlichus originally was to appoint someone, the sofer, to write the get to other edim to sign the get. And what are they going to end up doing? They're going to end up having violating the shlichus. They're going to end up having one of those edim sign the get and have the sofer himself sign the get. But that was not the tzivoy aval. It's not what the husband asked for, and therefore would be a violation of the shlichus, and the get would be puzzled. Now this is only a problem if we assume that Rabbi Yossi is not moda by Omer Imru, that Rabbi Yossi holds that even Omer Imru, this is a problem, right? If Rabbi Yossi is not moda by Omer Imru, if Rabbi Yossi is moda that Omer Imru if Rabbi Yossi were to hold that Omer Imru is fine, that you're allowed to do Omer Imru, That's where we have a problem. Meaning that the issue is as follows: that if you're going to go tell the sofer to sign his name on the get, the shluchim want to change it, and they go tell the sofer to sign his name on the get. If the sofer knows that he's not authorized unless he gets direct clearance from the husband, so then the sofer would never listen. He's not going to be insulted because he knows that it doesn't work that way, that you need to be told directly from the husband, and short of that, it's not going to work. So says the Gemara, no, why are we not concerned for this variation? Why are we not concerned for them breaking the rules over here and telling the sofer to sign the get when he's not authorized to do so? So says Gemara, Kivan Damar Mar, Kashav Lo Tasakein Bisrael Lo Shchiach. The case is not going to happen too frequently, because we're going to say later on today's Amud that if you go tell someone to tell the sofer to write a get and to tell two other people to sign a get, it is kosher, but you're not supposed to do it. So since we suggest it's something that people are not supposed to do, so Mela, we're not going to be concerned. It's not going to be a problem that's common enough for the Rabbanan to make a takana that it should be possible because of the concern of this variation that the Edom are going to not do what they were supposed to do. Now, if you look at Tosos, Imru l'sofer v'yichtov v'l'ploni ploni v'yachtemu, frek Tosos, an obvious question over here. What's the difference between telling someone to tell somebody else to do something and aid me p8? Right? If I saw that Reuven kills Shimon, and I tell my friend and I tell my friend Levi that Reuven killed Shimon, Levi wasn't there, Levi's not allowed to come to Beis Din and say, I know that Reuven killed Shimon because Aryeh Leibowitz is an honest guy and he was there and he said that he saw that Reuven killed Shimon. That doesn't work. Aid me p'eid doesn't work. You need to actually be there to serve as aidim. So why is this any different than aid me p'eid? I mean, you have exactly the same thing over here. I wasn't told anything by the husband. I was told by the husband's shliach to go and be aidim on the get. So says Tosos, lo dami le aid me p'eid. Tahani mili kishashamu p'eidim shaploni lava miploni mana shol nimsa eidos le'elu hami'idim. If I heard from someone who saw that Reuven lent Shimon $100, I was never supposed to be in the picture. I was never supposed to be a part of that case. Elibifnei Shonim, the guy who saw it happen, was supposed to be part of the part of that case. Aval Kan, but over here, Ikur Edus Lo Nimsra Ela LeElu. Over here, I am being singled out as the person who's supposed to be the aid in this case. The middleman is not the key aid over here. The middleman is only a shliach to find the key aidim. As opposed to by aid mi pi aid, the one who is there is the real aid, and anyone else isn't really part of the case. So that's why you don't have a problem of aid mi pi aid. The Ramban has a discussion over here. There's a Ramban that's quoted by a number of the Achronim as well about why Omer Imru should ever be a problem. I mean, Omer, I understand Mili Lamimsra on the Shliach, so you're going off and you're just giving the Shlichus over to someone else when all you have is Mili. But Omer Imru, I'm going and I'm telling you, I as the Baal, instruct somebody to tell somebody else. What's the problem with that? Why can I not instruct somebody to tell somebody else? It's clearly the Ratzon HaBaal. It's clearly what he wants to do. What should be the problem with Omer Imru? So the Ramban says that Omer Imru is only a problem when it comes to get. It's not a problem in any other area of halacha. It's dafka by a get, where you need a strong das habal, where the where you need a stronger level of lishma, where the das habalim is needs to be on a higher level. So then you need absolute certainty that the Baal had asked you to do something. And although generally I believe people who come and tell me that the Baal wants me to do something, generally I would believe that, but for a get, it's not good enough. For a get, I need to hear it from the horse's mouth. I need to know it from the Baal himself. I, two Edim, have Ne'amanos in Kol HaTorah Kula. We always believe two Edim. Yeah, so Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, that's Gzeiras HaKasev, that two Edim have Ne'amanos. But it's not that they're always telling the truth, and therefore by a Baal, by a get rather, where you need a higher level of Das HaBaal, I'm not allowed to necessarily trust two people who are just going to tell me that I'm supposed to be the aid. So Frak the Gemara, V'lechash Dilma Amarluhu Lebeitrei, Emelu Sofer V'yichtov, V'atem Chasumu, why aren't we concerned with the following case, that the husband is going to say to two people, go tell the sofer to write the get. And you, don't find two other people to sign it, you yourself sign it. V'azli hanach, why aren't we concerned that, what are they going to do? They're going to go mishum kisufa to sofer, because they're worried about embarrassing the sofer. Umachtami li sofer ba'adichad minayu balo amar hachi, and they're going to ask the sofer to sign, and they'll say, you know what, one of us won't sign, because it's too embarrassing to ask the sofer to write again, and not ask him to sign. So they'll have the same concern as we had before. They'll have the sofer sign when he wasn't authorized to do so. The balo amar hachi, the husband never said that the sofer should sign, and one of them will sign along with the sofer. So the only difference in the case is that in the previous case they were asking, they were supposed to ask other edim to sign. In this case, they themselves were supposed to sign. But either way, that's going to be a problem. Shouldn't we be concerned that they'll do this? So it says, no, Amri Hanami Kashav Lo Tasehu. No, you don't have to worry about this case either, because this is also something, the idea of telling edim to find a sofer to write it and to sign themselves is also something that, while it's kasher, is strongly discouraged. So says the Gemara, Hanich Lamadi, so therefore it's not Shchiach, and there's no reason to be concerned for such a thing. So says the Gemara, Hanich Lamadi Amakasha Velotase, Elamadi Amakasha Vitase Maikal Meimar. On the bottom of this Amud, we're going to have a machlokas, whether, between many different Amoraim, whether that case is Kasha Velotase, or it's even Kasha Vitase. Is that case something that is Lechadchila Kasher, or only Kasher B'dieved? So if you say it's only Kasher B'dieved L'chadchila, we don't recommend it, so good. You could say it's not Shchiach. But if you hold that even L'chadchila, it's fine, that we would recommend it, so then it is Shchiach. So then what are you going to do? So Ella Amar Rabbi Yossi Tarti, Amar Shmuel Savrla Kavasei B'chadu Apologali B'chada. So Rabbi Yossi is Tarti Amar. Rabbi Yossi said two different Chidushim. The whole problem we've been having is that we're trying to make Shmuel fit Rabbi Yossi, because Shmuel had said that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And we had to explain Shmuel's suffix about the case where a guy says to two people to write and give a get, and they only sign it and they don't actually write the get. So we got into this entire issue because we're trying to make Shmuel shtim with Rabbi Yossi. But in fact, he doesn't. Meaning there are two separate issues over here. There's a case of Mili Lamimstran, and then there's the issue of Omer Imru. And Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi that when it's not Omer Amru, Shmuel will hold that Mili Lamimstran L'Shliach, but he'll argue on the situation of Omer Amru. That Shmuel, even though it could be that when Shmuel said his suffix, he's not conforming to Rabbi Yossi's point of view on Omer Amru. So our whole question of Umi Moda Rabbi Yossi b'Omer Amru, it could be that Rabbi Yossi is not Moda b'Omer Amru, but Shmuel is Moda by Omer Amru, that Shmuel would hold that it's good enough by Omer Amru. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Gufa, Amar Shmuel, Amar Rebbe, Halacha Rebbe Yossi, the Amar Mili Lamim Shul Nashliach. Right, this is exactly what we pointed out before, that Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yossi, that Mili Lamim Shul Nashliach. So Amar Lefana, not about Amar Amru, but about Mili at least. Amar Lefana, Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, Me'ach Shara Meir V'chanina Yeshono Cholkin al Rabbi Yossi, Ma Ra Rebbe Lamar Halacha Rebbe Yossi. He says, wait a second, there are two people that argue on Rabbi Yossi. How could Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yossi when there are two great gedolim that disagree with Rabbi Yossi? So Amar Lo, so interesting lashon you have over here. So Amar Lo, he said to him, Shtok b'ni shtok. quiet down, my son. Lo re'isa es Rabbi Yossi. It's obvious to me that you've never seen Rabbi Yossi. El mo li re'iso nimuko imo. Had you ever seen Rabbi Yossi, you would realize that everything Rabbi Yossi said, he gave a svara to, a strong svara to, and therefore he always said the most logical things, and therefore we're allowed to, there's good reason to paskin like him, even though he's against two people. Now, what you see from Rosh Hashanah Ba'alacha points out over here, that you see that when you paskin halacha, it's not about counting the shitos, right? It's not about some poskim maybe have are accused at least of having a style where they just count all the different shitos and they say, oh, there are 35 shitos that say this way, only 30 that say the other way. We paskin 35 against the 30. No, it's not like that. Over here, you have two against one. But Rabbi Yossi's nimuko imo. Rabbi Yossi always has better rayas, always has a better explanation. And therefore, we're going to go like him against the other shitos. The Tanya, so now the Gemara goes into a little bit of an aside. Isi ben Yehuda Yamona Shivchan Shel Chachamim. Isi ben Yehuda used to go through the Shevach of the Chachamim. He used to go through all the different praises of the Chachamim. Prima Gadim asks that there's a Gemara in Maseches Basu Dav Kuf Samach Dalet Amud Beis where the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be Mesaper Shivchan Shel Chaveiro, that you're not allowed to go and say the Shevach of your friend because Shemitoch Shivchan Boli De Gnuso. When you go and you say the Shevach of a person, it's all that the only way that conversation is going to lead is to get the other people to say, nah, not really, you know, he's not so great. So it's only going to lead to Lashon Hara when you go and you say the Shevach of somebody. And the Poskim say it's not only Bifnei Sonov, it's not only in front of his enemies, but even in front of his friends, you shouldn't do it. You're not supposed to go and be Mesaper the Shevach of different people. It's only going to lead to trouble. So the Prima Gadim asks, so what's going on over here? How could he be allowed to do this? How is he allowed to be Mesaper the Shivcha Shel Chachamim? So Prima Gadim writes in Or Chaim, Kufnan Dalet, I think it is, in Sivkat and Beis and Neshal Avram, looked at it last night. Prima Gadim says that maybe he did it privately. Maybe when he said this, he said it very quietly. So he wasn't in public. How did it get to be known and get to be included in the Gemara? Okay, but he used to go around and say he used to say the Shevach of Chum, but only very quietly. Other Achronim give different terutzim. The Shomer Tzion Ba'alacha quotes that the Chida in Pesach Inayim answers that after someone dies, it's mutter. Because you're not going to cause so much Lashon Hara if you talk about people after they die. Who's going to stomp on a dead man's grave? So you're going to go and you talk about people after they die, that's not going to be a cause for Lashon Hara. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis to Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud Zayin, says that when it comes to Anashim Chashuvim, you're supposed to talk about their good, the things that they had done, so that people will come to appreciate them and come to learn from them. So that's Pashtos, what's going on over here. Anashim Chashuvim is talking about their great accomplishments. So let's see, what were their great characteristics? So Rabbi Meir, Chacham the Sofer. Rabbi Meir is not only a Chacham, he's a Sofer as well. Why would we assume that if you're a Chacham, you're not a Sofer? If you're a Sofer, you're not a Chacham? Why was the state of Safras so terrible back then that it was such a Chiddush to be a Chacham and a Sofer? So, right, and Rashi says this is literally, meaning he lav larani, he was actually a sofer. This is to be taken literally. So the Ben Yoyada explains that by nature, someone who is a chacham, who's a big charif, who's very sharp, by nature doesn't have a great memory. It's very difficult for such people to have a great memory. It's unusual for such people to have a great memory. People who rely on memory more tend to rely less on charifos and being sharp. The chiddush is that Meir was a chacham the sofer. What made him such a great sofer? He was able to write a sefer Torah shalom itoch haksa. He didn't need another Sefer Torah. He memorized the whole thing. He had a great memory, and he was a Chacham. That's the unique combination that he had. Rabbi Yehuda Chacham L'Kshayirta. Rabbi Yehuda was a Chacham when he wanted to be. What does that mean? So says Rashi, K'shayirotza li'oz matun, u'misyashiv b'dvarav, haya Chacham. Whenever he had the patience to sit down and really think, that's when he was a Chacham. Frektim Arsha, and that's meant as a compliment. Meaning, that's generally not a compliment. When you say, he knows how to behave when he wants to. You say about a kid sometimes. He knows how to behave when he wants to. Generally, that's not saying he's a well-behaved kid. It means that he needs extra motivation in order to know how to behave. So you say about Rabbi Yehuda, he's a chacham when he wants to be a chacham. That's not a compliment. So the Marshab prefers the pshat of the Aruch, that he was the Rosh HaMedabrim. That means, chacham l'kshayirtza means whenever he wanted to speak, there was a hush. Everyone else would let him speak. That's what it means, l'kshayirtza. Whenever he was interested, he would be able to espouse his chachma. Meretz Chayis, though, has a beautiful pshat. Meretz Chayis says that every single person has times where they're able to focus and concentrate and think on a deep level, and other times where it's much more challenging for them to think on a deep level at a, at a time of kas, a time of tsar, right? Times like that, it's very, very difficult for a person to really focus and really concentrate. The shevach over here, says Maariv Chayei, says, chacham l'ksheyirtza. He can engage in chachma whenever he wants, no matter what's going on in his life, no matter what kind of tzaras he has, no matter what kind of temperament he has, no matter what kind of mood he's in, he's always able to focus. That's the chacham l'ksheyirtza. Obviously, all this is against Rashi, though. Rashi says chacham l'ksheyirtza means when he has the patience to relax himself, that then he could be a chacham. I saw one of the achronim points to the Gemara in Nazir Daf Mem Tesam and Beis, where the Gemara tells us that after a mayor died, Rabbi Yehuda told his Talmidim, don't allow the Talmidei Rabbi Meir to come into my Beis Medrash, because Kantaranim Haim, they're only here to try to chap me. They're not here to try to learn anything. So you see that perhaps, what's the definition of Chacham generally? Lomid Mikal Adam, someone who's willing to learn from everybody. You see, Rabbi Yehuda displayed a certain hesitancy to be Lomid Mikal Adam. And maybe that's why Chacham L'Ksheyirtza, sometimes he's a Chacham, but other times he closes off avenues of Chachma that might be valuable to him, because he's worried about the threat that the Talmid Rebbe Meir posed. Rabbi Tarfon Gal Shalagozin. Rabbi Tarfon was like a pile of nuts. What does that mean? So Rashi points out that means, the Avos Sarbanasan explains, that just like by a Gal Shalagozin, if a person takes out one egos, the whole pile comes tumbling down, and one comes piling on top of the other. So too, when you would ask Rabbi Tarfon a question, he would bring rayas from all over the place, from all areas of Torah, Mikra, Midrash, Halacha, Agada. He'd bring you rayas from all over the place. If I'm not mistaken, that's where Rav Shachter writes in Ginas Egos, why he named the Sefer Ginas Egos. I forgot to check, but I'm pretty sure he quotes that Ovis Rabbi Nelson or something like it to explain that's his style in learning, is that you start with an idea and you quote from all over the place and it just one thing leads to the other, and you end up all over Shas with rayos to a given idea. Rabbi Shmuel Chanas Miuzenes. Rabbi Shmuel is like a store that's totally stocked. In what way? So Rashi writes that you don't have to, the storekeeper doesn't have to tell the customers, wait for me, don't worry, I'll bring you stuff, I'll get it ready for you. No, it's always ready. You come into the store, you have it ready. You go to Rabbi Shmuel, you ask him about something, he doesn't need to think about it. Rabbi Akiva Otzer Balam, and Rabbi Akiva is like a storage house. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, it's like someone who goes and he goes to the market and he takes a little bit of this item and a little bit of that item and a little bit of that item, and he puts it all in his bag, and then when he goes home, he sorts everything out. He puts the nuts over here and the apples over there and the oranges over there, and he sorts everything out from what he's bought in the store. So too Rabbi Akiva would go around and learn from all these different people, a little halacha here, a little agada there, a little medrash there, a little, right? And he would go around and learn all these things, and then he would go and review it and organize it and clarify it and compartmentalize it so that you would have clarity. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri kupas harochlim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is like the basket of the spice salesman who go around from town to town. So this is different than Rabbi Akiva, because the Rashi points out, because shenasan tchila libo tchila v'lamar akol mevulbo v'achach sidran. Rabbi Akiva would learn it in one big confusion first and then organize it. Over here by the kupas harochlim is you have all the spices in their own separate compartments to begin with. Rav Elazar ben Azariah kupa shel besamim. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah was like a kupa shel besamim. Why is that different than kupas harochlim? So Rashi says it's very similar. The only thing is, the rochel has a whole bunch of different spices, and he ties each one in their own little bags and their own little compartments. But the kupa shel besamim is more specialized. Right? The kupa shel besamim is a specific item. Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov kavinaki. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's teachings are so sifted through, so clarified, and void of any unnecessary or incorrect teachings, that it's always kavanaki, it's always perfect and clear. Marsha writes that kav is a gematria, that there are 102 times where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says something, and we always paskin like him. So Rabbi Elazar is always kavinaki. Now the Kesef Mishnah, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Beis Halacha Yud Ches, writes that the halacha is always like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, b'mishnah v'lo b'braisa. It's dafkin mishnayis, it's mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that's kavinaki, it's not in braisos. Chacham Tzvi points out that diuk is probably not such a good diuk, because Shimon ben Azai found a Megillah Starim many years before Rebbe was Masada the Mishnayos, that said that Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. So before the Mishnayos were ever put together as a book, as the Mishnayos, we already had such a cloud that Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. So Chacham Tzvi thinks this should apply well beyond just the Mishnayos. It should apply to Brisos as well. So there's a discussion in the Akronim exactly how far we take this idea of Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. The Yad Malachi believes that the Kesef Mishnah is a typo, that it was a Talmud Torah that included in the Kesef Mishnah that we don't pass like him in Brises. Okay, whatever you if you're into the typo type of varts, that's fine. Otherwise, so it could be that it's Dafka by Mishnayis that it's Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. Okay, says so there's also discussion in the Akronim when this goes up against a different klal. Right? Do we pass on like a different cloud? Because the Gemara Maseches Beitza talks about how to darshan a specific pasuk about kol sharetz hasharetz, whether it's referring to an oaf that was just born but its eyes didn't open yet. Some sort of machlokas between Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and somebody else, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan, I think. And there's a machlokas amorayim had a paskin, right? And the ran on the riff in Maseches Chulin. Gemara Chulin Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis quotes the Machlokas, and the Ran on the Rif over there asks, why don't we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? It's Kavanaki. So the Ran over there says, no, we're not going to paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov over there because there's a different klal in the Amoraim that the Amoraim, it was Rav against someone and it was Hilchos Krav Bisuri. So Rav paskin against Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the klal is that Hilchos Krav Bisuri, so you're going to paskin like Rav against the other klal because you have that klal following the Pesach of Rav. So the Ran says, why should one klal beat out the other klal? So he says, no, it's a two klalim against one. Number one, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is against the Rabbim, he's against the Rabbanan. And number two, you have Hilchos Krav, that directly against Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki is gonna win, because two against one is gonna win. But what you do see from there, that if it's Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki versus a Rabbim, Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki would be strong enough. It's only because he had the second klal over there that it was problematic. Rabbi Yossi Nimuko Imo, and Rabbi Yossi always explains everything logically. Rabbi Shimon, Tochen Harbe Motzi Kim, Rabbi Shimon grinds through a lot and he takes out very little. He refines it so much that he only takes out the best pieces of Torah. Tana Mishkach Kima, meaning Motzi Kima doesn't mean he only takes out, it means he forgets very little. Umasha Motzi Ani Motzi Ala Subin, and whatever he excludes is really only Subin, is really junk anyway. V'chena, meaning it's things that we don't paskin like, it's things that aren't correct. V'chena Rabbi Shimon L'Talmidav Banai Shanu Midosai Shemidosai Chumos Mitchumos Midosh Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Shimon used to tell his children, learn from me because the things you learn from me are further refined from what Rabbi Akiva taught. Gufa, Amar L'Shnayim Imlu Sofer V'Yichtavu Ploni Ploni V'Yichtamu. If a guy says to two people, go tell the sofer to write a get, and tell two people to sign the get, Amar Avuna Marav Kashav Lo Tassas Os Bisfal. So this is what we refer to on the top. So that is okay, but you're not allowed to do it. You're not supposed to do it. We frown upon that. Amar Le'ula Rav Nachman Rami Rav Nachman Le'ula Me'achar De Kashav May Lo Tassas Os Bisfal. But if it's okay, then why can't we do it? Why is it frowned upon? So Amar Le'chashin and Shematiskar Edim. No, we're worried that maybe you're going to hire Edim to sign on the get, and that we don't want to happen. We don't want Edim to be paid. So in fact, Amar Le'chashin V'Atani Edim Achzuben Al Sadim Mekaf Al Geti Shalocha. Are we ever concerned that you're going to pay Edim? Didn't we learn in Brisa that if you have Edim signed on a Mekach or a Get Isha, that we're not concerned that they're hired hands? We assume that it's not so. So says Gemara, Maisa lo avdi dibura ka'amri. No, they wouldn't. An Edim hired Edim would never do a Maisa. They would never sign their names on something. But hired Edim would say something when you can hire an aide to say something when it's not true. You can't hire an aide to do something that's not true. You can hire an aide to say something that's not true. Now over here, through this dibur, a woman is going to get married and she's going to be marba mamzerim. So the saying is going to be a lot worse than the doing. So the Tiferes Yaakov explains, no, it's not really. That's not really what's going to happen. There's somech on the fact that the woman is not going to want to be mekalkel atzma. She's not going to want to ruin herself by going and getting married illegally. What's she going to do? She's going to use this get as a way of leverage against her husband. She's going to try to use this get as a way of saying to her husband, look, no one's going to believe you anyway because I have a get that looks like a perfectly kosher get over here. So you might as well give me a real get. You might as well give me a kosher get because no one's going to believe you anyway. So she's going to use it as leverage in order to get a kosher get out of her husband. It's not actually going to lead to mamzerim. Or you could say pashtos. Dibur, it's just people psychologically, they don't think about repercussions. They just think about what they're doing. And it doesn't feel as wrong to say something bad, as to say something untrue, as it does to do something that's untrue. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. What about the other case, where you tell two people, find a sofer to write the get, but you yourself signed it? Rav Chisda Amar Kasher V'Latasav, Rabbi Bar Chana Amar Kasher V'Tasav. Rav Chisda says it's kasher, but you can't do that. Rabbi Bar Chana says it's kasher, and you can do it. Rav Nachman Amar Kasher. Rav Nachman says kasher and don't do it. Rav Sheshi says kasher and do it. Rabbi Amar Kasher V'Latasav, Rav Yosef Amar Kasher V'Tasav. Again, this was the machlokas we alluded to before. That in this case it was a machlokas whether it's kasher V'Tasav or kasher V'Latasav. Vika Dapaklu, and some switch around that last one, the shitos of Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Fine. Amar Lasar Kisvuget. So the Mishnah then said if you go to tell 10 people to write a get for your wife, so what's the story? So says the Braisa, Tan Rabbanan. Amar Lasar Kisvuget Utanu Ishti. If you go over to a group of 10 people and you say, write a get and give the get to my wife, Echad Kosei Valide Kulam, one of them could write on behalf of all of them. They don't all need to be involved in the writing. One of them writes on behalf of all of them. But if you say, Kulchem Ksuvu, if you say, I want all of you to write the get, then Echad Kosei B'maimer Kulam, then one of them has to write with all of them there. They all have to be present because you're makbid on, apparently you're makbid on a minion. Apparently you're makbid on having everyone there. Halichu get l'ishti. Let's say you go over to the group of 10 people and you say, bring this get to my wife, Echad Melech Halide Kulam. Any one of them could go and be the one to bring the get. As long as one of them brings the get, that's fine. Kulchem alichu, but if you say Lashon of Kulchem, you say, I want all of you to bring the get, Echad Melech B'maimed Kulam. Then one of them has to bring with all of them going along with him. Because you need, again, you're showing a special akpada that you care that there be a minion, you care that they all go together. Ibailhu, mana oso osan mahu. What if you list off, you go over to a group of 10 people and you list off 5 of them. You say, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, I want you to go and bring this get to my wife. Then what's the din? Do all 10 of them have to go? Do all 5 of them have to go? Can only one of them go? So Rav Huna Amar, Mana Eino Kulchem. Rav Huna says when you list them off, that's not the same din as Kulchem. That's not considered like saying Kulchem. Rav Yochum Mishum Blazer Dimin Roma Amar, Mana Harehi Kulchem. That, yes, it is. It absolutely is like saying Kulchem. Amra Papa Velo Pligi, and they say it's not a machlokas. Hadamana Kulu, Hadamana Mekzasayu. If you list off all 10 of them, that's different than listing off some of them. When you list off some of them, it's different than when you list off all 10 of them. Well, which way does it go? Which way is better? Which way means kulchem? Which way means not kulchem? Samila lahagisa, ramila lahagisa. It can go either way. Meaning, you could say that if you list off all of them, so then you're makbid that on every single one of them being there. If you list off some of them, so you're not makbid on all of them being there, right? You're only makbid that someone from the group of that you listed should be involved. I mean, you're not even makbid that all the people you listed should be involved. You're makbid someone from the group that you listed. I mean, you just further narrowed your choices. You went over to 10 people, originally your choice was amongst 10 people. You listed 5, now it's a choice from amongst those 5 people. That's one way to say it. The other way to say it is the Haggis is to say that if you listed off some of them, so then by listing off some and not all of them, you're showing that you want every single person that you listed. But if you list all of them, so then it's saying, I don't want anyone from this group. I don't really care who it is, because look, I mentioned every single name. I wasn't specific. Iskin Rabbi Yehuda Begita de Kulchem. Rabbi Yehuda was misakin that whenever you have a get that the husband wants to say Kulchem, we are misakin the special lashon that it should be Sovu o kulchan o kolchad v'chad minchon. That instead they should write o kulchan o kolchad v'chad minchon. They should make it in a way that no matter what they do is going to be very clear that it's kosher. That no one's going to say that the husband was really makbid on kulchem and look, you don't have kulchem. So you write a lashon of kulchan o kolchad v'chad minchon. That he told us to either all of us or any one of us. Chasumu o kulchan o kol trei minchon. And when he told us to sign, he said either all of you or any two of you. Ovilu, when he told us to bring it, o kulchan, o kulchad v'chad minchon. Either that we all bring it, or that any one of us bring it. Amar Rav is zimni de gazle de diburi v'amar kulchan v'lamar kulchad minchon. Vasil of Suli says, the only problem is, sometimes they're not going to get the whole text. Sometimes people are forgetful, and they don't get the whole, they're going to write the kulchon part, they're not going to write the kol chad b'chad ruchon part. And someone's going to assume that the husband was makbir in kulchem, and he's going to say that this get is pasul, because it was written by, it wasn't written by kulchem. So they're going to come to pasul the get. Ela maravis, the rabbi says, that's not the eight. So the eight says as follows. Ksovu kol chad ruchon chasomu, kol trey minchon ovilu, the way you do it is you say, write any one of you, sign any two of you, and bring any one of you. And that way you don't have any confusion over here by saying, oh, kulchan, where people are going to assume that you were makbar on getting everyone involved. Fine. Hadron lachomer. Says the Mishnah, Misha achsu kordaikus. Kordiakos, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Someone who has a certain illness, which Rashi says is a shade that takes over his body when he drinks a lot of fresh wine, a lot of wine that was recently made. So a certain shade takes over his body and he goes crazy. And in this state of mental illness, he goes and he says to write to get to his wife, Lo Amar Klum. Then we don't listen to him. If he said originally, write to get for my wife, and then he was overtaken by this shade, and he said, don't write a get for my wife, then we don't listen to the last thing he says, we listen to the first thing, we write the get. Period. New case. Nishtatek, a regular normal person, becomes mute. He's unable to speak. And we say to him, what do you think? Should we write a get to your wife? Vihirkin barosho, and he shakes his head. So both can also shlosha pa. So we check him out three times. We see that if he's shaking for the appropriate things, meaning we say, is the sun out today? And if the sun is out, and he shakes his head, yes. So we see that he knows how to shake his head, yes. We ask him a no question also. We ask him a total of three questions, and we see that if he's appropriately shaking his head to obvious questions, so we see he knows what he's talking about. And therefore, the shaking of the head is going to be good enough to write a get to the guy's wife. Some sofer points out, if the shaking of the head is good enough, being morabet etzba'osav, sign language is for sure good enough, meaning anything that's an understood language doesn't actually have to be verbal, doesn't have to be audible, rather, as long as something he's able to express himself in a clear way, and we know what he's talking about, that's going to be good enough. My kordiakos, what exactly is kordiakos? So Amar Shmuel, dinachte chamra chadata demeatzarta, that a person was overcome, it was bitten, Rashi says, by new wine directly from the wine press, fresh wine. The listing mishnach shcho yain chadash. So why doesn't it just say that? Why doesn't it just say someone who is bitten by yain chadash? Why does it have to come up with a strange word, kordiakos? So hakamashman the harucha kordiakos shema. Now it's coming to tell me that ruach, that shade that takes over you, is called kordiakos. L'mainav kamina. What do I care what it's called? L'kameya. In case you need to write a kameya to get rid of that shade, right? You want to write a kameya to ward off that shade, so you need to call it by name in the kameya, otherwise the kameya is not going to work for those who write kameyas. Okay, mayasfase, what's the cure for this illness that a person has from drinking new wine? Now, obviously, we're going to have a lot of medical stuff in the Gemara over the next couple of datum, and this Amun in particular, we're going to have a lot of medical issues, so we always have to point out Tosas Moy, all the famous Marmakamas. Tosas Moy, Katan Dafiral, writes that the refuers of the Shas, the refuers that we have in the Gemara are not good for us, Bizmanazah. Yamshul Shlomo and Chulin Perches, Simon Yabez writes that there's a Cherim HaKadmonim not to use the refuers of Shas. The Rav Ramban Arambam writes that someone who uses the refuos in the Gemara is dumb of Barosho. He's committing suicide. Okay, in case it's not obvious. So anyway, Mayasfasi, so what do we do to cure a person? So from this, Bisrasumka Agurmi, he needs lean meat that's barbecued, that's burnt on coals, the Chamra Marka, and diluted wine. Amr Abai, Amrli Aim, Abai says, Aim used to tell me, the woman who raised me used to tell me, right, we know that Abai was orphaned at a young age, right, that's how Rashi Amamadalit said, that's how he got the name Abai, that Abai is either, well, Machlok is Rashi in the Aruch over there, according to the Gilgul Shas, either Abai was his real name, Abai was his real name, but Rabba Bar Nachmeni raised him, so he called him Nachmeni, or Nachmeni was his real name, but Rabba Bar Nachmeni wouldn't say the name Nachmeni because it was his father's name, so he called him Abaye Milashon Avi. Whatever it was, that Abaye was orphaned, so he had someone else that raised him. So Amrli Aim, he refers to that person who raised him as Aim. So he said, Aim used to tell me, the Shim Shabbas Yoma, kuza demaya. If a person suffers from heat stroke for one day, so you should have kuza demaya. You should have some water. Bas treyom is sikuri. If he has two days of heat stroke, he needs to do bloodletting. Bas tlasiyomi bisosumka agurmi v'chamra marka. If he has 3 days of heat stroke, so he should again have lean meat on coal that's cooked on coals and diluted wine. L'shimsha atikta. But if it's an old heat stroke that's been bothering for a while, so then you do the following unbelievably unusual refuah. Leisi tanugalasa uchamti. You take a black chicken, or a black hen, vilikara shesi va'arev, and you should rip it open as if you're dissecting it lengthwise and widthwise. Viligalchi l'mitziyasa dereshe. You then shave the middle of the patient's head. Velosve ylave. You put the hen on the patient's bald spot that you just made bald. Venanche ylave ad misruch, and you keep it there. You place it there until it sticks on its own. Velinchos velekum b'maya ad savare. You put the patient in water up until his neck. Ad chalash almi ylave, until he starts to feel tired. Velema, then he swims a little. Velislik, and he comes out of the water. Velesev, and he sits down. And that's the refuah. Velo, and if that doesn't work, or he doesn't want to do that, lechel karti, she should eat leek. It leaks instead. V'linchos v'lekum b'maya atzavari, and then do the whole thing with the water. Put him in water up until his neck. Ad chalash al milave, until he feels weak. V'lemer, and he swims. V'lislik v'lesev, he comes out and he sits. So l'shimsha. We had just said before that for heat stroke, what are you supposed to do? Bisra sumka agumri v'chamra marka. You should have lean meat on coals and diluted wine. Letalga, but for chills, if you have the opposite problem, so then bisra shmeina agumri v'chamra chaya. You use the opposite refuah. You take fatty meat on coals and undiluted wine. Rav Amr Chassidu ki havam mitzarim le'beirish kalusa havam magani le'atalga. When the Beirish Kalusa wanted to torture Rav Amr Chassidu, they didn't like him. They used to annoy him. So what they would do is they would put him up to sleep and open the windows, or they would make him sleep in the snow. They would make him sleep in a way that he would get freezing cold. So the Machar Amru Leis, and the next day they said to him, "Oh, Nebuch, looks like you caught a cold over there. What can we do to help you out?" Right? He was suffering. So Amr Hani called Aminu Lemepachavchi. He says, "I know these people. Whatever I tell them, they're going to do the exact opposite anyway." So Amr Luhu Bisrasumka Agurmi V'Chamra Marka. He said, "I'll tell you what. Why don't you bring me lean meat that was cooked on coals and diluted wine?" Because he needed the exact opposite, right? So I said, "Inu bisra shmeina gumri v'chamra chaya." They brought him the exact opposite. He got exactly what he needed. Good. So he accomplished what he wanted. It's not the only story like this in Shas, right? We have the story. Who was it? Rav Chista. I forgot who it was. Someone with his wife. That his wife had always given the opposite, and his kid changed around the story. Shami Yalta ma'ilolei lebeima susa. So Yalta had heard that he had suffered from this illness, so she wanted to help him recover from the effects of the. Sometimes the refuah has its own side effects. She wanted to help him recover from the side effects of the refuah. So she brought him into the bathhouse. The Yalta was from the family of the Reish Kalusa, so she wasn't worried about helping him out. Nothing was going to happen to her. And she sat him in the water of the bathhouse until the water of the bathhouse looked like blood from him sitting in there for so long, from I guess all the whatever boils or whatever was on his skin coming off and into the water. And then by the time he came out, his skin was all discolored and blotched all over the place because of this treatment. He was in the water for so long. Rav Yosef Yasek Berechai, Rav Sheshes Yasek Kshure. Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes, when they would suffer from chills, so Rav Yosef would work with the mill, and Rav Sheshes would work in construction. He would deal with beams. And Amar Gedol Melech Hashem Mechamem Ezes Baalah. They would say the best way to heat up the body is by doing work, and that way they would heat up their bodies. Amar LeReish Kalus LeRav Sheshes. The Reish Kalus said to Rav Sheshes, "My time Lo Sod Mar Gaban. How come you never eat by my house?" So Amar Lei Delamalu Avdi DeChashidi Ayver Menachai. He says, "Because your servants do some bad things. I'm telling you, they probably serve you Eivir Menachai. You don't even realize it." He said, "I'm not going to eat at your house. I don't trust the kashrus. I think the servants are serving Eivir Menachai." Amalei mi Eimar. He says, "How could you say something like that? Whoever said my servants serve Eivir Menachai?" Amalei hashtu machvinelach. He said, "I'll demonstrate to you. I'll show it to you." He says, "Just watch this." Amalei l'shamish. Rav Sheshes said to his own shamish, "Zil gnov aisi lichad akar mechiusa. Go sneak in and steal one of the legs off the animal that they're preparing for the meal. Just steal one of the legs off of it." All the Achronim ask, he's allowed to tell his Zevet to steal? What basis is he allowed to tell him to steal? So Ben Yehuda points out the obvious answer. He told the Reish Galusa, watch. Meaning the Reish Galusa, who really owns the animal, was in on it. So the Reish Galusa is allowed to steal from his own stuff from his own Avadim. So it's like he's doing it with the Shlichus of the Reish Galusa. You wouldn't normally be allowed to steal even to prove a point. Right? It's not okay to steal. So he says, go steal one leg from the animal. He brought the leg from the animal. Amr Lahusa, then Rav Sheshes told the Avadim of the Reish Galusa, Ahadim Lehidmi Dechiusa, come serve the animal. So they brought the animal parts to serve it, and there were only three legs. Amr Lahu, Habala Shalosh Regalim Avai. He says, well, what's going on over here? There's only a three-legged animal. So there's a discussion in the Achronim, would that enough? So what? So it's a three-legged animal. Is that a trefa necessarily? So the Achronim discuss whether that would be a problem, that it's a three-legged animal in terms of trefas, or maybe it's not a problem in terms of trefas, but it's that he knows that it's not normal to have a three-legged animal, so he's scaring them to do something. So pasuk aisu chadam alma sivikame. So they went and they took a leg off of another animal, a live animal, and they brought that. So they told the Shamish, okay, bring out the leg you were holding on to the whole time. So also he brought out that leg. He says, what? Was this a five-legged animal? Meaning he had exposed that they had brought an Aver Menachai to serve when they had nothing else to serve. So in that way he had proved his point. Okay, so we'll continue that story tomorrow. The story goes on in a little bit.